In these days of Christmas, I'm always fascinated how we know these stories, the stories of Jesus' birth, mostly recounted by Luke, St. Luke, and Matthew. And there must have been a fascination that they themselves had, either during Jesus' life or after he had already died and ascended, that Luke and Matthew go to the Blessed Virgin Mary, said, "We know bits and pieces of the story, but can you tell us what happened when the angel Gabriel appeared to you on that day? And what was Joseph up to?" Well, Joseph was sleeping. He's always sleeping, apparently. He gets all these visions and dreams. And to ask, like, what was happening in your heart? Like, what were you pondering in your heart? And what was it like having to go down to Bethlehem? Kind of an inconvenient time for you as you're nearly in labor. And then we get this story today that the newborn king, this savior, who's the red carpet should have been rolled out for him, and all of a sudden Herod's going to start killing all the firstborn boys because he's worried that a new king has arisen. And so Joseph has to be the one to take initiative. Joseph takes his wife and this newborn son, and they have to fly into Egypt, which Israel and Egypt have been enemies for the last 1,500 years, ever since Moses left Egypt. Like, there's always been this problem with going to Egypt, and yet it was to fulfill the prophecy which we heard about in the gospel, that out of Egypt I called my son, which wasn't just Israel in ancient days after the Exodus. God meant it for real, that my son is going to be called out of Egypt. And Joseph, obedient, takes them to Egypt. And then when the time comes, and we don't know if it's months or if it's years, but eventually they make their way back, and he resides in Nazareth so that the prophecy might be fulfilled again. He shall be called a Nazarene. But what fondness Mary has to have looking back on these days, now that Jesus is gone and that she gets to recount to Luke and to Matthew the early days of her son, the early days of this holy family. At the end of every year after Christmas, we celebrate this feast, the Feast of the Holy Family. And to be holy is really two movements. To be set apart for something, right? To be set apart from the world so that I can give myself to something, really to someone. And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus, of course, are the holy family. Joseph set apart to care for Mary and to look after Jesus, to be the encourager, the protector, the provider, that he, in a special way, encourages his son. We heard in the first reading that we, or the second reading, "Fathers, do not provoke your children so they may not become discouraged." That so much of the role of a father is to encourage his son, because the father, from the days that this boy is a little toddler, this girl's a little toddler, dad is the strongest, biggest person I've ever met. And so they need to be encouraged by their fathers. Mary's set apart for this special mission, to be the mother of God. And then Jesus, of course, is holy because he is God himself, and he is set apart for a special mission, to go all the way to the cross for the salvation of the world. Pope Francis said that the Holy Family is holy because the center of their lives was Jesus. The Holy Family is holy because the center of their lives is Jesus. The center of their lives isn't their son as son, but the center of their lives is Jesus. It's easy to make idols out of our kids and pay all the attention towards them, but the center of the family has to be Jesus, that husband and wife are shoulder to shoulder heading towards the Lord and his will for their lives, that the children follow behind. But I think it's intimidating on this feast day to hold up the ideal of the Holy Family and then to consider our own families. It's like, my family's all jacked up, you know? It's the apples and oranges. Like, there's no way we can be called to this great heights, the security, the trust, the love that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph share. My family can't compare to that at all. But I think we need to avoid that temptation of comparing ourselves and saying, oh, we can't measure up in any way. It's kind of a defeating, self-condemning thought. But rather, the church holds up the Holy Family as something to be admired, as a family to be inspired by, a family to be in love with, to aspire to that. Not in condemnation of myself to say, we're messing all this up. But thanks be to God, God invites us to participate in His Holy Family. And St. Paul gives us marching orders in today's second reading. It says, brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Put on. That the Latin word habitus, a habit, is a piece of clothing that we put on. We don our habits, our virtues. Think of the wardrobe of virtues in your own life. And St. Paul puts these before us. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And this belongs absolutely in the home, in our family life. The church exists throughout the world, but where the church exists best isn't here at Sunday Mass. It's in the home, where wife and husband love each other, where their love flows into the children. And it needs to be punctuated with heartfelt compassion. The word compassion, compassio, means to suffer with, that my heart is tender enough to suffer with you in the things that you're going through, to put on heartfelt compassion, to put on kindness. It's really easy in family life to take people for granted. It's like we're flesh and blood. You'll always be around. But you owe your family kindness to not take them for granted, to notice the hard things that they do, to appreciate, to honor them in that way. That you're called to humility, to put on humility, not to be caught up in my own pride of life, my selfishness, or my self-righteousness, but to humbly recognize my own weakness, my need for other people, and also my great strength in how it is that I can help provide for you, how it is that I can be a stable shelter for you. He continues on that we need to be gentle and patient, and the hardest of all, that we have to bear with one another and forgive one another. A family that doesn't forgive will always fall apart. That resentments create fissures in the foundation of family life. That bitterness will ruin everything else. And so we, before anybody ever apologizes to me, I need to forgive them in my heart. That God gives us, Jesus commands us to forgive, not so that we let all these people off the hook for the bad things that they've done to us, all the ways that they've hurt us. Jesus commands us to forgive so that my heart can be free, that I'm not a slave to resentment. I'm not a slave to anger. I'm not a slave to all the ways that I've been hurt over the times and spaces. And so we need to learn how to forgive readily and quickly. And then finally, he says, and let the peace of Christ control your hearts. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts. The peace into which you were also called in one body. If Satan has one tactic, and he has many, but one he loves to do, is to destroy our peace. To feel like I'm being tossed back and forth, to feel like nobody's on my side, to feel like everybody's out to get me, that things keep going wrong and another shoe's about to fall, and we sort of are in a doom space where I don't know what's coming next, and when there's no peace. And when I consider the Holy Family of Mary and Joseph, the peace of Christ controlled their hearts. That even from his youth, Jesus would have had a peaceableness about him that Mary and Joseph would have received. To let the peace of Christ control our hearts means that the media isn't going to control my heart. It means that the news isn't going to control my heart. It's not what my uncle said at Christmas dinner is going to control my heart. But the peace of Christ, his voice that I hear every day as I wake up and pray, as I encounter him in the Eucharist, as I am absolved of my sins in confession, that peace resonates so much that it bleeds over into other people. My peace I give you, my peace I give back to you. Jesus desires peace. That's so much the part of the Mass. And so as we continue to aspire to the holiness of the Holy Family, to be set apart from the rest of the world so that we can be dedicated to the Lord, we need to let the peace of Christ control our hearts. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another.